Thank the Lord for this privilege, for a beautiful day. I'd like to read in Psalm chapter 30 and verse 1. Psalm 30 and 1 says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. This psalm was a song of dedication at the house of David. David knew something about weeping, didn't he? He had been anointed to be king of Israel by Samuel, and he ended up waiting for perhaps 7 years. And during that 7 years, what a night that David went through. King Saul threw his javelin at David. David ran for his life. David hid in caves and was out in the wilderness and hunted by King Saul like he was an animal. David knew what it was like to be in the night. And he knew what it was like to have a time to rejoice that the Lord had brought a morning. So this psalm seemed especially appropriate at the dedication of David's house. Let's read in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10. First Samuel 21 and 10, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. According to Adam Clark, this was the worst place that David could have gone. It was the very city of Goliath, whom he had slain, and whose sword he now wore. And he soon found from the conversation of the servants of Achish that his life was in the most imminent danger in this place. The servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see this man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David knew what it was like to be on the mountaintop. He knew the praise of men. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. But then he knew also what it was like to be in the depths of despair, a man running for his life. Job said, Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Like to read another psalm of David in Psalm chapter 69 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail when I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. For because of thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment. I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of drunkards. Quite a change for David, wasn't it? From national hero to being the song of drunkards, to being one that was ridiculed, reproached. Verse 13 says, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. So David was showing where his hope was. His hope was in God, for God to deliver him out of that place. Sometimes we go through things that seem like night. Things seem overwhelming. And we may feel like David that we're weeping so much, but I want us to be encouraged this morning and to look to God, to notice that He is the one that will bring us out. Consider Joseph, the things that he went through in his life. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph went from being favorite son to losing his relationships with his brothers. Quite a fall. And he was sold into slavery. And I can imagine Joseph down there in the bottom of that pit pleading for his deliverance. Some wanted to kill him. Some of his own brethren wanted to kill him. And perhaps he was in the place of pleading for his life. Quite a place to be in. And then he was falsely accused. Genesis 39 is where that part is. Genesis 39 and verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. So even though Joseph got into such a place of dark despair, being sold into slavery, being separated from his family, losing the relationships with his brothers, the Lord promoted him into a good place in this house. Isn't that the way life goes? Sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes it seems like things are going well. Well, the woman of the house, Potiphar's wife, tempted him and ended up having him cast into prison. Another place of deep despair in his life. But Joseph was faithful in those places of night to the point that he was promoted to a high place in prison as well. But then the time came that mourning came for Joseph. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I imagine Joseph had plenty of hours to think about all the things that had happened to him, all the wrongs his brothers had done. He probably had time to think about things that he should have done differently, Maybe I shouldn't have shared my dreams. Maybe I could have done better. Whatever it may have been, but a place of real night for Joseph. But I notice a quality of Joseph that in the place of Potiphar's house, in the place of prison, he was faithful to God. And the scripture says in James, the first chapter, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that loved him. So Joseph was faithful during his night and eventually was promoted to second in Egypt. What an amazing thing. What a morning to have dawned for Joseph in his life. But it didn't end there. The morning finally dawned that Joseph had reconciliation with his brothers. His brothers became hungry due to the famine in the land. They went to Egypt to buy food, and they met Joseph there. And Joseph put his brothers through some trials. He wanted to know, what are these men like now? Joseph wanted to keep Benjamin, his own full brother. And as the brothers were pleading with Joseph, don't do that. Don't keep Benjamin. It'll kill our father. It was more than Joseph could handle. And he wept. And it said that he wept so loudly that the Egyptians who had been sent out could hear him. That was quite a place, wasn't it? Quite a day. Quite a role reversal from being the one pleading for his life, the one begging, don't send me into slavery, put me in the pit, whatever it may have been, from being in the night of prison to becoming second in Egypt. Isn't it amazing what the Lord can do if we will be faithful through the night that we have to face, no matter what it is? The Lord can promote us to a high place. Well, I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 45. To me, this is a very touching story in the Bible. Genesis chapter 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence, and I think they had good reason to be. Here is a man that is second to Pharaoh. They were in fear of this man, and they remembered their past. Do you suppose in all the years that elapsed from the time that they sold Joseph to the time that they met him this day, that they had some regrets? That some thoughts came back that maybe we shouldn't have deceived our father that way. Maybe we shouldn't have sent our brother away. Maybe we should have put up with his obnoxiousness and forgiven him. Well, it's like it all came flooding back this day. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. What an invitation. What a day of joy that broke the long night that they had been in. This broken relationship, as Joseph, even though he was second in Egypt, I imagine he was still unfulfilled, knowing this broken relationship with his brothers. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. What a morning. What a day of hope, of happiness, of restoration of relationships. What an example of what happens when we stay faithful through the night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Consider the children of Israel. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. The length of time is disputed, maybe 400, maybe 430 years. What a time of night, a time that got worse and worse, the taskmasters getting more and more demanding, longing for their freedom, longing for a better life. But then the day came for the faithful descendants that they lived in a land flowing with milk and honey, that they had their own cities, they had their own king. They had God going before them and fighting their battles and conquering for them. Joy comes in the morning for those that are faithful. Consider Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was an amazing woman, her dedication to the Lord. But yet, her past was a troubled past. She was delivered from 7 devils, according to Luke 8 and 2. She must have been in some pretty serious trouble. But yet, she followed the Lord with such a love. She may have been a wealthy woman, because in Luke 8 and 3, it says that she, along with other women, ministered to the Lord. They ministered to the Lord of their substance. I think they were probably helping fund with food or whatever Jesus' ministry efforts. That's amazing. A woman of high social standing, perhaps, and dedicating herself to the Lord that much. She was a devout follower of the Lord, and I'd like to read another story that I consider one of the most touching in the Bible, and that is found in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth. Now this is a grown woman, but she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Again, picture, these are adults. This tells you their hearts were in it. It tells you they were excited. There was something that meant something very deep to them. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? He's the one that would actually go into the sepulchre. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Sometimes it will be night. Sometimes things will seem overwhelming. The Lord that delivered her from 7 devils, the Lord that she loved hearing every word that he preached, that she felt so devoted to follow from place to place that he went, that she was there witnessing his crucifixion. That's how devoted Mary Magdalene was. She stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth 2 angels. Wow, what an experience. Would you like to see angels? Can you imagine what a reward that was that day? She seeth 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Do you see her love for the Savior? Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. Morning had broken for Mary. From weeping, from the loss of the Savior, from the recent memories of the crucifixion of the Lord to seeing a risen Savior. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Consider Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and 1, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we are in the battle, when we're in the night, isn't it so easy to look at the circumstances, to ponder our troubles, to be like Peter, to look at the waves, and to think what it would be like to sink into the sea, to hear the howling of the storm? Those things are so natural for us as humans when it is night. But let us look at Jesus' example, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. May I say the night? He endured the night because he knew that joy would come in the morning. Well, saints today are facing some perilous times. News is discouraging. We can get focused on that, and it can trouble us very greatly. Loved ones are sick. That can be discouraging. And when we're in the battle of affliction, well, then we can get focused on the night. The song says, Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. And I've been amazed at the change that I've seen in recent years. Things that we wouldn't have expected. Certainly, we are in perilous times. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. But here's what I want you to focus on today. Troubles will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore when we meet on that shore, free from all care. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Amen. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. You know this world isn't fair. Did you know this world is full of trouble and sin and sorrow? We're going to tell it goodbye someday. Homeward we then shall fly, glory to share. During life, there are times like David experienced that we will be on the high mountain. We'll enjoy the happiness of life, the good things that are going our way, maybe some prosperity, whatever it may be, good relationships with people, and then there will be times that we will be in the night. There will be time that we lose loved ones. There will be times that we're sick. There will be times that the world has come against us, that we feel so discouraged. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Joy is coming in the morning. I'd like to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Consider that day this morning. We don't know when it will be, but I believe this, don't you? This voice of an archangel, do you suppose it's going to silence all other noise? All of the music going in the bars, all of the voices of people that are clamoring and disputing, and all of the things of this world that are going on at this moment, the voice of the archangel will supersede all of that. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's going to be worth it to hold on through the night. No matter how long the night is or how dark it is or what kinds of things we're going to face, it's going to be worth it to experience the resurrection in Christ. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Our loved ones that have gone on before us. The hope that as Jesus comes again and he gets our attention, and our attention's no longer on the troubles of earth. We're no longer thinking about the pain that we experience. We no longer are worried about all the sin that is going on in the world today. Instead, we have heard the voice of the trumpet. The voice of the archangel. We see loved ones that we long to be with again, rising to meet Christ in the air, and we realize, I'm ready. I can go. I can be with them. This is the day that joy comes in the morning. And don't get me wrong, there's joy that comes many mornings. There's joy for us even in the night. When things are going so wrong, when we feel despair, we can still have an inward joy that helps sustain us. But oh, the day that we have to look forward to, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We don't have to be like Mary Magdalene weeping. Sir, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. I long to see the Lord. I long to be like John and be able to lie on his bosom. What a day, what a morning that will be. So shall we ever be with the Lord. No more goodbyes to loved ones. No more wondering, is the Lord hearing and answering my prayer? That we will ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We hear a lot of voices in the world today. A lot of voices of discouragement. There are things that can make us angry. When we realize the injustices, when we see the depravity of this country, when we realize the wickedness of leaders, the social injustices that are increasing, we can get awfully discouraged. But I think it's good for us to stop and comfort one another with these words, that the day is coming, that we will be delivered from all troubles, and that there will be a morning for us. If we're faithful to the Lord, if we endure temptation, I hope you're encouraged this morning that no matter what you've been through, what you're facing right now, there is joy coming if you'll live for the Lord, be faithful to Him. May God bless each one of you.